All of them proud and eager to pay tribute to their friend, Glenn Miller. Tonight, in his honor, the War Activities Committee of the Motion Picture Industry has sponsored this tremendous all-star in-person show in conjunction with motion picture theaters throughout the nation for observing Glenn Miller Day. Thousands of Americans, like our audience at the New York Paramount Theater tonight, have gone to their own favorite theater and purchased that extra war bond in honor of Glenn Miller. Now, if you haven't purchased yours, friends, do it tomorrow. It's free movie day at every motion picture theater in the nation. Your bond purchased at a theater is your ticket of admission. Come on, America. Pour out your might for the mighty Seventh War Loan and speed that total victory. And now I see that Benny Goodman and his band are ready to pour out their might for the Glenn Miller Day Show. It's that all-time favorite by Benny and the boys, Don't Be That Way. Ceremonies for this evening, I'd like to introduce one of the funniest men in the world. And judging from his popularity, I know you'll all agree. Here he is, your favorite and mine, Milton Berle.
There's good news tonight, folks. I want to tell you, boy, isn't it wonderful? What bonds are being sold here tonight to help with Japan? And boy, are those Japs taking a lot of bombing? In fact, this is what I tell you. After every raid, their radios go off the air, then there's a slight pause for nation identification. Well, isn't this Paramount Theater wonderful? When I played here, I had the audience right in the palm of my hand. That'll give you an idea how many people were in the audience. But all kidding aside, the last time I was here at the Paramount, believe it or not, I drew a line 3 blocks long. Then the manager made me go out and erase it. I loused that up. Good night. I'll go. It gets funnier. Gee, I want to tell you, the funniest thing happened at this theater. Some fellow walked over to the box office and bought a ticket. And 2 minutes later, he came out and bought another ticket. Then 2 minutes later, he bought another ticket. Finally, the cashier said, "Look, mister, this is the third ticket I sold you." And the fellow said, "Can I help it if some jerk inside keeps tearing them up?" But I love this theater. I'll never forget the first day I played here. Never forget the last day. Same day. And boy, what fan letters I received, I still have them with me. I'll read one. It says, "Dear Burl, you stink." Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Now, don't laugh, please. I don't have to do this for a living. I have a new racket. I pick up cigarette butts and sell them to midgets for king-size cigarettes. But the fan letter, oh yeah, I like to hear it is. It's wonderful. It says, "Some people say that Burl is the worst comedian in the world. If Burl is the worst comedian in the world, then I'm Gabriel Heater. Signed, Gabriel Heater." I like those other commentators too. For instance, that H.B. Kaltenberg, what's his name? Kaltenborn. He says, "H.B. Kaltenborn. And here's the latest development. Sounds like he backed into a hot radiator or something." And then there's Walter Winchell. He says, "Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North American, all the ship to sea. This is Mrs. Winchell's bad boy, Walter, broadcasting you from the stage of May West New Theater. Flesh. A flash. Flash." I like everything on the radio. Of course, the best thing on the radio are the commercials. Do you have those dull, logy feelings? Do you feel like you missed 3 hours sleep? Do you? Then why don't you go back to bed? Have you seen Dr. Kleinmein's new prismatic glasses? If you have, send them back. He can't see a darn thing without them. Have you tried Figglebaum's sunshine irradiated vitamin D Mickey Finns? Try a Figglebaum's Mickey Finn before you leave the house. You'll go out smiling. Figglebaum's. Spell it backwards. It's easier than spelling it frontwards. Then they say, "Do you..." Wait a minute. I'm not through. Give it to me all at the finish. Then they say, Do you suffer from insomnia? Do you talk in your sleep? Do your eyes bother you? Are your teeth bad? Do your ears ring? Do your nose hurt? Then throw away your head. And those singing commercials, I just love them. "Murray's nasal drops in the bottle. Try it, folks, and then you see what'll happen if you use Murray's bottle with the syringe on top." Then they say, have you smoked a cigarette lately? Then try Paul Small's new queen-size cigarettes. Each cigarette is 6 feet long. Smoke one in bed and keep your feet warm. And they say, this is the voice of experience. And I'm talking to Miss Ophelia Keegan-Wadaba of 625 Boulevard Road, Quinky Magnet Newton. Yeah, Quinky Magnet Newton. What the funny? Miss Keegan-Wadaba, you want to know why your husband kicked you in the shins, threw you on the floor, stepped in your face, punched you in the nose, and knocked your teeth out? And the voice of experience shall tell you, Miss Keegan-Wadaba, he was mad at you. Thank you very, very much. Whoa, what a gang here tonight, eh? Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the show must go on. It's a real pleasure to introduce a great singer of songs, a young lady who got her start with Glenn Miller and is now a star in her own right, the very, very lovely Marion Hutton. Marion, welcome to the show tonight. And Marion, what are you going to sing for us?
Well, Milton, this song is not my usual type of song. But the message impressed me so much that I thought I'd like to pass it along to everyone.
The microphone is yours.
waves falling on the Pacific. All was strangely still in the silence before the battle in a foxhole in Bougainville. Faces were tense and waiting till a boy brought new hope their way and fearlessly told his buddies as they knelt to God to pray. I had a little talk with the Lord. I had a little talk with the Lord. There on a battle-weary island, I had a little talk with the Lord. I begged the Lord to send down some rain to give me strength to stand up again. Right there my heart began to smile, and I had a little talk with the Lord. And the Lord spoke, and the cloud broke, and the thunder crashed around, and I knew the Lord had blessed me, for the rain came tumbling down. So have a little talk with the Lord. Have faith and you will share his reward. For I found the strength to fight for my land. When I had a little talk with the
wonderful. And now, Marion, you really want to. Here is a sailor. Sailor, come on out. Here's a sailor I think you know. There he is.
Yes.
Tex Benigni, ladies and gentlemen. Tex Benigni.
What do you say, Marion?
Well, folks, Marion, Hutton, and Chief Petty Officer Tex Benigni, who's incidentally just flown here from the Norman, Oklahoma, recovering from their tremendous surprise, will now sing a song that they made famous with Glenn Miller's band, and here it is, Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree. Take it away, Benny.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else.
There they are. Teddy Wilson at the piano, Red Norvo at the vibrachord, Maury Fell at the drums, Mike Bryan at the guitar, and the one and only Benny Goodman on the clarinet. Take it away. One, two. Rising young singing star in America, his fan letters from his records and radio show way up in the thousands, ladies and gentlemen, America's new heartthrob, Johnny Johnston. Here he is.
Johnny, oh, thank you.
Who's better looking and why am I? What do you want to sing for us tonight, John?
I'd like to sing Love.
Love, Ben. He'd like to sing Love.
Play it.
Love can be a moment's madness. Love can be insane. Love can be a life of sadness and pain. Love can be a summer shower, or love can be the sun. Love can be two hearts that flower as one. It can be ecstasy, but it's true, it doesn't always happen to you. Love can be a dying ember, or love can can be a flame. Love flashed in September, maybe dead in December. You may not even remember it came. Say love can be a joy forever or an empty name. Love is almost never ever the same. Say it can be fine and free, but that time is not so very easy to find. Love's a tie that's hard to sever, or an empty name. Love is almost never, ever the same.
I give Johnny Johnson. Thank you very, very much. Take a bow. Oh, they love it. Isn't he swell? Ladies and gentlemen, I just got a note backstage that a note just came in that the boys in the hospital and in the wards of the St. Albans Hospital are listening to the show here, the entire show, and they've enjoyed it tremendously. You know, ladies and gentlemen, these are very, very serious days. And we've gone through almost 4 years of war. And we don't know how many still lie ahead. But we've learned that in order to withstand the great tragedy and pressure of war, we must have a brief moment of fun and laughter. Our motion picture theaters throughout the country have never failed to give us that necessary entertainment. They have never failed to do another thing equally important to the war. They've sold bonds. From the hour the first Jap bombs smashed into Pearl Harbor, the motion picture theaters went into the business of selling war bonds. At any hour, night and day, and they sold them. And they're still selling them and will continue selling them until total victory. Now, we must all buy more war bonds. Let's buy them from our neighborhood movie theaters. Remember, a war bond buys victory. It buys peace and freedom and tolerance. A war bond buys a future for you and for our country. Incidentally, I've just been informed by Bob Whiteman, managing director of the Paramount Theater, that the bonds sold here at this rally tonight total $4,124,620. That is indeed wonderful. Thanks to you wonderful people. And now, I think to top off the evening's half hour here, Benny Goodman's going to play his biggest record seller, This or That. Take it away, Benny.
If you ain't sure, you might. If it ain't day, it's night. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't this, you can't miss. It's got to be your brother. Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other? What a voice. If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bang. If it ain't bean, it's Frankie. It's got to be this or that.
comedy routine going on stage now. Rendall is beating his vibes and Benny Goodman jobbing him. Now, listen in to what happened. The Empirist went off the machine and walked off the stage. That's the end of the vibes. Ross up back on the stage. I guess you heard that. That's a
lot of Lindbergh.
He's calling Red Nova to come back on the stage.
Red Nova.
Now, Milton Berle made a sound from the stage.
Threw it all over the stage here. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you. Not for us on the show tonight. Benny Goodman, Johnny Johnston, Marion Hutton, Tex Beneke, and Joe Besser, and not for the Paramount Theater. But ladies and gentlemen, for G.I. Joe, the kid who can hit the Japs harder every time we buy a war bond. This is Milton Berle saying goodbye, and a goodbye is bond.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, taking hands in the center of the stage is Johnny Johnston and Milton Berle, which brings to close just this one portion of this mammoth Major Glenn Miller war bond show that's coming to you from the stage of the New York Paramount Theater in New York City. The spotlights now are falling on Benny Goodman as he plays the theme song, and Milton Berle says goodnight to the guests.
We hope that you did enjoy the half hour that we try to give you this from the stage. As I think we should really get together and give a tremendous hand to Benny Goodman and his very, very fine orchestra for their wonderful support. I also want to thank Martin Block for coming up and doing what he did. He's really a great guy. Ladies and gentlemen, from the stage now, it's my pleasure to present to you a great guy, very, very wonderful fellow, great columnist, and a young gentleman that has done so much toward benefits and of different great hospitals, and all for the cause. My pleasure to present to you a great guy, one and only Ed Sullivan.
Now Ed Sullivan of the Daily News is going to speak to you over WNEW New York. Coming to the center of the stage, adjusting his mic.
Thank you,
Milton. Now Ed Sullivan.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's have a nice hand for Milton Berle as he disappears into the Paramount cellar. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the high privilege of presenting to you at this time a general of the United States Army, the commanding officer of Halloran General Hospital, who came here tonight because Glenn did so many things for Halloran. It's a little past his bedtime. He has to get up early in the morning over at Staten Island, but he's waited here for this opportunity. I give you now the commanding officer of Halloran General Hospital, one of the great Army hospitals of the country, General Ralph G. DeVoe.
I think we'll have to hold that. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am very happy to be here tonight to take a small part in the testimonial and honor of Major Glenn Miller, who is not here with us tonight, but whom we hope fondly will be with us again in the very near future, as he has been so often with us out there to our very great advantage and pleasure in the past. I can't overlook this opportunity to give further testimony of our gratitude to the members of the entertainment profession. They have done so much, have sacrificed so much for us, for our wounded out there, and for all of the people in raising their courage and their hopes and their aspirations to endure the terrors of this war. In behalf of those of us who have to care for those wounded and sick and come back, in behalf of the patients themselves And I wish to add to my own behalf, I want to thank them all for what they have done and the great sacrifices they have made of their time, their convenience, and in some cases, even greater. I also wish to tell you, people of New York, something that I think you should have been told long ago, if you have not. We are wondering how you ever came to have the reputation of being cold-hearted. I have a wish I would like to express. That is that every man who comes back from overseas could come through this port of New York, enjoy your hospitality and the warmth of your friendship that you extend to him on every hand. It is an inspiring thing to observe, and I know that it will be held to your credit by every one in the United States, in this great country of ours, for these men that come home through New York, fan out through this whole country, and spread your reputation as it really should be spread, and tell them what you are as they really are, as you are as they have seen you. And I think now I shall close by thanking you, warm-hearted, splendid, understanding people of New York City, for all that you have done for our sick and wounded, and for all the other veterans of this terrible war who have come back through this great port. This bitterest of all wars is now, we hope, approaching its bitter end. An end that will be bitter enough for us, but more acrid, and more bitter, and more distasteful, we believe, for those who have had the temerity to attack us, a peace-loving nation that we are. Those who have made these great sacrifices, I think, are entitled to our constant recognition and support. They have died for us, and I think the least that we can do is to get behind this 7th victory alone and do all that we can for them and their buddies who are still carrying on for us.
Thank you, General DeVoe. And ladies and gentlemen, you see in General DeVoe the typical, well, I don't know if he's typical. We think out at Halloran that he's something special. But you have in him a very wonderful type of Army doctor, an American who's done so much for your youngsters out there. I was thinking here, as he was talking about Glenn, that the last time I saw Glenn in New York was at a luncheon that Bob Whiteman arranged over the Astor Theater, the Astor Hotel. Not at the Astor Theater, certainly. You wouldn't want to eat there. At that time, Glenn was very anxious to get into the Army, and he had these wonderful plans. So I corralled a colonel and brought him along, and Glenn explained at length his plans. He was going to donate about 150 jukeboxes, and he was going to let the boys have them free and have the money from the jukeboxes devoted to their company funds. And he had plans to organize in this area 20 big bands and send them all through the country. And he had a whole plan of orchestrations, standard orchestrations. He was going to send his men around and have these Army bands drilling them. I've never seen anybody so enthusiastic or so steamed up and so eager to do it. And later on, we had the great satisfaction of having General Eisenhower say that the greatest morale job that had been done in the entire war had been done by Major Glenn Miller with the combat troops of the United States. And I'm sure that we are right in feeling that this thing tonight, this great ceremony here tonight, is just the sort of thing that he'll most appreciate when he gets home and hears about it. This is a typical Glenn Miller type of thing, because these are the things that he specialized in doing. And while I'm talking about Bob Whiteman, I'd like to call him on stage and have you meet the chap who's responsible for this entire thing. One of Glenn Miller's greatest friends, and one of our greatest friends, Bob Whiteman, the managing director of the Paramount Theater.
Well, Ed, this is the first time I've ever followed the general. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this opportunity to publicly thank all of the people that did such a tremendous job to make this affair the huge success that it's been up to the present time. We have in store for you another full hour of show, and all I can say to you is you haven't seen anything yet. Again, I want to repeat to all of the people that participated in the show, that goes from the backstage to all of the folks out front, including all of the usherettes, the porters, the cleaners, boys in the booth, boys on the stage, all of the fitters on the street, to you, Ed Sullivan, and all of the performers, thank you very, very much for coming tonight. Well, come on, now let's hear it for a very fine American.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we just heard from Bob Whiteman, the managing director of the New York Paramount Theater. Fred Waring will be on the air shortly with a whole galaxy of stars. Ed Sullivan is saying on with the show, so we'll return to the stage, and Ed Sullivan,
led by Fred Waring.
To the music, I'll tell you later.
My Lord, you know that you promised me a long white road and a pair of shoes.
Oh, yonder angel, fetch me a pair of shoes. Place them on my servant's feet.
Servant, you tell me of your shoes.
My Lord, you know that you promised me a long white robe and a golden waistband.
Oh, yonder angel, fetch me a golden waistband. Place it round the servant's waist.
Servant, you
now, ladies and gentlemen, from Hollywood, Alan Jones.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. A song I've sung so many times over a period of so many years in so many places that my ears are beginning to grow like one, the Donkey Serenade.
Jonesy, take it out of here.
Alan Jones is off the stage now after getting a very fine reception from the Paramount Theater here in New York, where we're celebrating the Major Glenn Miller War Bond Show over WNEW New York. Ed Sullivan is our master of ceremonies. Fred Waring and the Glee Club, his entire ensemble is on the stage. And now, Ed Sullivan.
Alan Jones, come out here again. This is getting beyond... You're a killer. And now, ladies and gentlemen, just for a bow, a colleague of yours, Mr. Waring.
Really?
Yes.
The mic is falling already.
Guy Lombardo.
Guy Lombardo, ladies and gentlemen. Guy Lombardo, speak.
Thank you, Fred. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm certainly thrilled to be here tonight.
I think he looks older than I do, don't you? In fact, I think he is older than I.
I think you're right. I'm really thrilled to be here tonight. Glenn and I started out years ago in Chicago. I remember when he was starting, he was a star in Ben Pollock's band, and we were just looking for a break. I saw Glenn go to the top as a band leader, and more important than that, he went to the top as a national hero. I'm thrilled being here, and thanks for hearing my little talk. See you later.
Guy Lombardo has just paid his tributes to Major Glenn Miller, now Ed Sullivan.
I still think he's older.
I think so. Now that he's gone, we both agree on that. Would you introduce Lloyd for Bell?
I certainly would be very happy to.
Do you mind if I stand by you?
Will you stand there, listen, and correct me, and throw in a punch if you care to? Mr. Sullivan, ladies and gentlemen, I have the very, very great pleasure of introducing a star who has risen very, very fast, one of those meteor-type rises. Though he's had a long career in pictures, yet he has really outdone himself and performed a magnificent job in that picture, Tree Grows in Brooklyn. It ran at the Roxy, if you remember. Nothing to do with the Paramount. But this young lad is getting younger all the time. We appeared with him on a Bond show the other night, and he really accredited himself and did a good thing for Hollywood, too. Mr. Lloyd Nolan. Lloyd Nolan.
Thank you very much.
I think he's older, too.
Yeah. That makes it feel very nice, you know. As nice as things are supposed to be out in Hollywood, I think that we need a little pat in the back now and then out there, because I can say tell you a little incident that it's only funny because it really occurred to me. It happened to me when I was leaving the studio not long ago after a pretty long day's work, and I was pretty tired. I decided to drop in someplace there for a little Coca-Cola. And it was one of those L-shaped bars, you know. Sure, you know. And I was trying to get the attention of the man in attendance. And right across over here were a couple of vacant seats. And all of a sudden, a couple of girls came back from the dance floor. They'd been dancing, and they sit down, and they sit there, and all of a sudden, one looks over. It was very close. It was about 10 feet away. And all of a sudden, one says in a loud voice, very loud, says, "Oh, look, there's Lloyd Nolan." So I thought that was pretty nice. I gave it the left profile, you know. And loosening up that autograph pencil and said... And the other one looks over and says, "Oh, yeah, he stinks." The only thing is, it's true. Talking about that tree grows in Brooklyn, there's one thing I can say about that. That interrupted a very promising military career in Hollywood. In Manila Calling, I was a private. In Bataan, I was a corporal. Guadalcanal Dyer as sergeant. And I did a picture for the Air Forces out there. It was a major. You know, no captaincy, nothing like that. And I was sort of doing all right. Then they say, "In the next picture, Lloyd, you play a Brooklyn flatfoot." That ended my career. Send me from Brooklyn.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a grand show going on here in the Paramount Theater in New York City. It's the Major Glenn Miller War Bond Show, and we're going to stay with it right to the very end. We have many fine stars to be presented tonight, so stay with us. But now, of course, very important is the news. So we're going to return you to our studios and hear the latest news. WNEW, New York.